Welcome here to Scandinavian Tennis Podcast. My name is Rune Thomsen.
And my name is Linus Eriksson. Here we will talk you through this week's most interesting happenings on the tennis tours.
Vamos, let's go!
Now I have Rune Thomsen on the line again. How are you today, Rune?
I'm very good, Linus. Thanks for having me yet again. Third time might be the lucky one.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's super nice. We record this Sunday afternoon, and it's nice that we have been able to talk 3 weeks in a row now, which I think is good for the consistency of this podcast.
But it's also because there's tennis every day, so it's very good for people like us. There's always something to talk about.
It's always fun to talk tennis, of course. Today, Rune, we will actually start with talking a little bit about ourselves. We have got some feedback that we should maybe introduce ourselves a little bit more and tell the listeners who we actually are. So I'm going to let you start. Who are you, Rune?
Yes, I'm Rune Thomsen. I'm from Denmark. I'm 36 years old and I'm very keen about tennis. I probably would be the person that spends most time on the Resultina app in the world. Might be.
Which also is an effect of that you don't have social media. So that's
of course.
Find the results. That's great. For those who don't know me, I'm Linus Eriksson. I'm from Sweden, from Gothenburg, and I've coached in Sweden the last couple of years, and I have another podcast, Linus på Baslinjen podcast, and that's actually the reason how we met, Rune. Correct? Huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was a big fan of your podcast, and then of course I had to get out with all my tennis thoughts. So I wrote you a long email about some inputs and my thoughts about some tennis stuff. And luckily you replied, because I mean I wasn't even sure that I got the right email, but everything ended up like we have spent now endless conversations talking tennis.
Yeah,
and now we also do it in public.
Yeah, which is great. Now I remember that email. That was fun, and I replied I think pretty quick, and then you replied again, and the conversation had started. So that was wonderful. But okay, Rune, if we will get into this week's happenings on the tours, I'm actually gonna start this episode with mentioning one thing we forgot last week. That the Swedish player Vanessa Ersös, she won the doubles title in Antalya for, I don't know, what, 9 days ago now. One question I have about that is, do you think that good results and maybe titles in doubles is like, is something that can, how do you say, I don't know the English word, weighed up? Like that's a replacement for some struggling in the singles. Do you think doubles is good in that way?
I think for Vanessa, that is still young and is trying to get as much experience in and out every week. I know she's a very steady and stubborn person, playing a lot of tournaments in Antalya. And I think getting as much tennis every week in amount of hours is always a surplus for her tennis. So yeah, for sure, a player like that should be playing as much as possible, singles, doubles, whatever. And winning titles is always giving confidence. So yeah, it will probably also help her single game, for sure.
Do you think it's the same if we go up one level to players that, I mean, on a more consistent basis, maybe make results in singles as well, but when they get on a bad roll, do you think doubles is a good thing to play even more than?
I think it's mainly about age and of course a little bit of level, because the higher level you play at, the more it requires of yourself in singles, because the competition is much more tough, and therefore it's better to put all your orange in one hat instead of two. So I understand that people that has single ranking and is pursuing a higher single ranking only play singles in a week. But I think for Vanessa, that is still in the quality for singles and is not sure how many single matches she gets every week, I think it's brilliant for her to play doubles as well.
But so what you mean is that if you go deep in singles, it can be some kind of negative thing to have doubles to spend energy on as well in the afternoons?
No, what I meant was more about if you go higher than maybe ITF or play challengers, the matches there is much more requiring for you because the opponent's level is higher. So maybe there it's more normal to just focus on one side. Plus, on the future level, it's always good to collect some kind of money, and you do that by playing doubles. And then, as I mentioned, the age, if you are 25, then it's maybe less needed for you to get experience in playing doubles, then it's better to stay with singles. So it's age and level wise, you can say.
Another player that is used to play in Antalya is Dragos Madaras. Today he won his third title of the year, all three in Antalya, 15K. When is it time to more consistently play higher levels for Dragos?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think that, everybody will say it's already time, but it seems like he has a lot of confidence in Turkey, and he must really like the place, courts and environment, since he's going there because his level and his ranking is for more. And especially this week, I don't understand why there was challengers in Split. He would have got into, I think, even main draw. And there was also challengers in Prague that he would have got into. So, and both on clay, that is his preferred surface. So it's a little bit weird. And I'm not sure, but he might also play next week in Antalya, where there's also challengers in Rome that he would have got into. And there is challengers in, where's the other week in Europe next week? There's one more.
But he's on the list for next week, you mean, in Antalya?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I think so.
That now Rune is searching.
Right. Ostrava also challenger this upcoming week, where he would have got in for sure. So I don't know, but he must have a passion for playing in Antalya. But as the calculator has said many times, it is, I think, only possible to reach 250 or 220 with playing 15s and have full ranking point for that.
Okay.
So of course, and also again, you have to take in consideration you get better playing better opponents, and of course there's better opponents in the challenger level than in 15 levels.
Yeah, I can see here that when we record this, he's actually on the list. He's on the top of the list for next week as well.
Yeah,
so we'll see about that. But another player that actually played some challengers now is Jonathan Merida. He was in the States, in Florida, this week, lost first round in main draw after qualified, and he beat Donald Young, a well-known name in the qualifying final. And I think from when we were younger, Rune, Donald Young was one of the next biggest stars, so to say, right?
Yes, I think actually we talked about it briefly in the last podcast.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That's right.
So for sure, it was very good for Jonathan to make main draw. He should have hopefully got some experience there and gained some confidence that he can use now for the European clay season that is coming up here in May.
Yeah, for sure. And also another Swedish player that is in Florida this week is Miriam Björklund. She has not played her final yet in Orlando. She's going to play this later this afternoon when we record it. But she had a pretty good week, not losing a set on her way to the final. And I think she's actually on her way to top 100, maybe later this year. What do you think?
I think that Miriam has proven that it's possible to actually get up the rankings by playing on the ITF tour and being steady on there, because as we talked about, I think maybe not last time, but the first time, that the first half of the year last year was not so good, but then suddenly she got it in under the skin and starting doing really good results. And now she also won matches in Grand Slam quali. So who knows what the limit is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see. And like we touched in the first episode of this show, Miriam was selected for the Fed Cup team, but said no. One of the players that played Fed Cup, Joaquin Caballawad, she reached the semifinal in Cairo this week in the 15K there. I think Joaquin and Julita Saner was the only players from the Fed Cup teams from Scandinavia actually competing this week. After the Fed Cup or Billie Jean King Cup, do you think it was a smart move to take advantage of the excitement and the motivation from that week, or would it have been better to rest for a week and then go out again? What is your take on that?
I mean, I cannot say talk for everybody, but I say that if you want to make it as a professional tennis player, you have to be on the tour. So that means that whether you play Fed Cup the week before, or you play ITF before, or you play WTA before, it's always good to stay out there and keep grinding, because it's a tough game and you don't gain any money, you don't gain any points by going home. So for sure, I would have hoped to see more of the Swedish players, more of the Danish players, and to stay out there. Why not, when you're in Italia, you're playing at Megas Array Resort, the future is right next to. I mean, why not stay and play one more week, or even go to Cairo, which is also a direct flight. So yeah, it makes no sense for them unless they have some injuries or they have something private they have to take care of at home. But otherwise, I think it makes no sense to go back and then go out again.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating that there's not more players competing actually week like this. Of course, not everyone can play every week, but I mean, when you are out there, you're playing you are in Antalya, like you say, that there's so few players that is staying or taking one flight to another place. It's surprising, I think. Especially because, I mean, I think in Sweden it is like that. I think it's so from more federations that they actually pay the ticket for you to fly to the next place.
Wherever you want to go after, yeah. But I think it's a misunderstanding for Scandinavian players. And I don't talk about everybody, but in Scandinavia, I think we have a little bit misunderstood what it is that is the job title. I mean, everybody can call themselves tennis professionals, but I think what this job title requires, and it requires a lot of traveling and a lot of grinding and a lot of staying out there where you play in week in, week out, because both Danish players, Norwegian players and Swedish players does the same. I think in general, they play around 20 to 25% less than the average pro on their own ranking level, if you understand what I'm saying.
How many weeks do you think how many tournaments every year should you try to aim for? I understand it's individual, but what is necessary to take the next step? What do you think?
Again, it depends on, of course, financially. It depends on your age. And of course, if you are full-time or you are a part-time player, you can say. But I think that, I mean, there could be played much more than most of the Scandinavians are playing. I think a lot of the Danish and Norwegian players that call themselves pros, they play in this beginning of 20 tournaments a year, and that is absolute little. So if we say in a month there's 4 weeks, in a month you should absolutely be out three out of four.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, we'll see if during the summer, if more Scandinavians is going to be out there grinding week to week. We'll see. This was just the start of the episode, and I certainly hope you want to listen to it all to the end. We are going to be joined by Sakolin, and me and Rune have a couple of more things to bring up before we put an end to the last week's action. So head over to the Scandinavian Tennis Pod on Spotify or Apple Podcast, and please subscribe to the pod as well there, so you don't miss any new episode coming out. And there you can find the whole episode because this is just a teaser. So yeah, head over to the Scandinavian Tennis Pod and listen to the full episode there.